Okay, Bobcat, I got your stupid lowly anime. What the crap is up with these robot Care Bears? Who let these in here?
That robot Care Bears, it's Robot Man.
Yes, they've replaced the Care Bears.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm the guy who lives here, sort of.
Am I hearing voices again?
No.
Well, yes, but they're voices that have a origin to the outside world.
Bobcat, did you bring home another one? Again?
Yes.
What's this one called?
Well, I was going to name him Perry, but I think he should introduce himself.
Very well. I am Paranormal Rob. Most people just call me Rob, and I run a little website called planetrob.com. That's two words with a hyphen. And I review weird cartoons that nobody's ever seen before, and people somehow like that.
Yep. I met him on the Desu Desu Brigade forums, and then I binged his movies, and I said, hey, he'd be cool to have on.
Goody.
Of course, he's also responsible for what we're reviewing this week.
Yes, I am.
He could have gone with Princess Tutu, the one that people like. The one that the Desu Desu Brigade used as their initiation for people.
Instead, he brought forth possibly my favorite anime of all we've reviewed. This is Apocalypse Zero.
Apocalypse Zero. So, just in case anyone's listening to us for the first time, hi, any possible Planet Rob viewers.
We hate you.
Well, Burke does. I'm indifferent until you make me go one way or the other. But here at the 5-Point Podcast, we watch the first three episodes of an anime every week and try to decide whether we think it's worth the viewer's time to keep going forward with.
It usually isn't.
Spoiler alert. But when it isn't, it usually isn't in some amusing way that we can talk about in a hopefully amusing way. We look at the anime based on five different points. First impressions, story, characters, presentation, which is everything that isn't the writing pretty much, and final thoughts.
Hooray! Hey, Rob, want to explain the premise of Apocalypse Zero for us?
I think I'll do you one better. I have the DVD, and I have the synopsis on the back.
Hold on now, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I will subvert your rules at every turn, Bobcat! Also, I'm Burr.
That's point two. Although you can use the DVD to talk about point one, first impressions. So, from reputation and the DVD box, Rob, what were you expecting going in?
Reputation-wise, I didn't really hear much about this, other than I just peeked at it on Wikipedia. But all I had to know was it was an OVA from the 90s, and that's really all you need to know.
Hey, Guyver is a saint.
How did the anime industry survive the 90s?
I don't know.
Guyver is a saint!
Who are those weirdos who are actually buying this and enjoying it? I mean, God bless them, because we wouldn't be getting good anime today without them blazing the trail, but...
Really rich, really weird people.
Look. Present day, modern anime that just came out, Mistress Girlfriend X or whatever, and you're calling it good? I think it's all rather comparable.
Burke, we like to call that a straw man argument. You're ignoring what I had to
magic
say.
Magic drool.
Okay, let's just move on to the weirdness we're actually watching today.
We'll be getting to that other one day, folks.
Not if I have anything to do with it, we won't. But
it's got to be less perverted than this.
I'll grant that. So, my first thought was, this was recommended to me by Spaceman Hardy over at the Desu Desu Brigade forums. And I said, okay, is it available to stream anywhere? And he said, no one would want to stream this.
Nobody can stream this.
Some porn sites might be able to.
No, I
would want to.
I think even they'd be ashamed.
Yeah. So that was my first impression, was this was this horrible thing that someone was recommending I watch because it was horrible. Why couldn't we have done Princess Tutu? Burke, you go.
My first impressions. Actually, I'll be honest, either Bobcat didn't mention that about what he said, or he really, really downplayed it, because I had no idea what this was going to be. I didn't even know when it was made. I didn't know anything about it till I started watching it. And then I was graced with a 6-titted bear.
8-titted bear. That counted.
That's radioactive.
That's the first image on this OVA. Giant bear demon with 8 boobs.
It pretty much summed up the entire adventure.
It's like last time we had a panty shot in the first 10 seconds that summarized the entire show.
This time we had a giant 8-boobed bear that had radioactive acid blood.
Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Point two. So, Rob, read us the box synopsis. By the way, I am embarrassed to say this is the first anime I have actually had to purchase to review.
Aren't you so proud of yourself?
Shut up, you scurvy dog.
Hey, the people that made this
I'm a Komodo dragon. My mouth is filthy.
Well, at least I bought it from the Seattle Goodwill, so some charity person is getting help of some variety.
Oh my god, that means that someone donated this to Goodwill.
It's for the children.
It's a cartoon,
one of those cartoon,
right?
Things. All kids love cartoons.
Mommy, can I buy this?
Sure, honey. I know how much you like Pokemon.
Oh, God. You just saved some poor kid from a life of making women suits.
Okay, so I'm going to just say this right now. Spoiler alert. Normally, we just watch the first 3 episodes of things. We've watched the entirety of Apocalypse Zero. We are going to spoil the hell out of it.
It's 'cause there's only 2 episodes.
There's only about, what, 70, 80 minutes of it or so?
60-ish.
90, according to the DVD.
The DVD lies.
It felt longer.
Oh, it wasn't long enough. So then, what does the back of the DVD say, you unrailed person?
I'm actually going to do a dramatic reading of the back of the DVD because it's just so wonderful.
I'd have to stone you if you didn't.
Alright, here we go. In a world where obsessions and nightmares return to demons, humans are nothing more than prey for grotesque monsters. Embodied corruption roams the earth, filled with disgust and hatred for all that is unsullied. Harara, the human demon, raises an army of foul creatures from the shadows of the human heart. His power is the unmatched Zero fighting art, which can reduce any opponent to bleeding meat. His goal is to eviscerate every human left on Earth and bathe in their blood. Only one other being has mastered Zero form. It is Harara's human brother, Kagero, with armor made from the souls of dead warriors. He is on a quest to protect the pure and obliterate Harara. He is Kagero, the final soldier. His killing hands bring purification.
Wait. Did the back of the box actually call Harara a he?
Yes, it did.
What?
Why?
Apparently,
either they know something we don't.
Apparently, they only watched the first part. Because, honestly, I thought Harara was a boy for a little while. But I also want to include this quote from Animerica. If nasty isn't enough and disgusting seems dull, Apocalypse Zero will open even the most desensitized media zombies' eyes. That is a bold statement.
And this show could back that up.
It's a contender. Not quite there yet, though.
Okay, so let's talk story. Now, quite often... Now, depending on the show, we'll either go with the actual names of characters, or we'll make up insulting nicknames. I think this is a good week for insulting nicknames.
Well, we have lead character McJarrick Kamen Rider. We have Big Bad McStupid Board Lady. Ichi. What? I'm confused about that. What the crap? Anyways,
I would not put it past this series to have her be a she-male.
Something.
With everything else that happened, I wouldn't be surprised either.
You'd think they'd bring it up, though, or address it, or something.
This show needs not for plot. So
check your sanity at the door.
Okay. Let's call the sister character pink-haired girl just because we need one, and her hair's kind of pink.
Okay.
So we have generic lead, pink-haired girl.
Let's call him Jerry.
We have Jerry, pink-haired girl, love interest, gay biker man. I don't understand. And cannon fodder. Lots and lots of cannon fodder. That about sum it up?
That sounds right. I don't think you've missed anyone important.
I don't think there was anyone important. Oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's an insult to Obi-Wan, but I can't think of a better one off the top of my head.
He was the only interesting character in the whole thing.
Yeah. Though I will say, the lead hero is better than some of our other ones. But that's getting ahead of ourselves.
Right. So we open up in... Okay, if there's one thing anime has taught me, the mountains of Japan are just full of nothing but dojos.
Yeah. Especially after the apocalypse.
Right, because, you know, all that valuable real estate is suddenly opened up and...
Apparently.
The Kung Fu masters can push people around to take the land, I guess.
Apparently.
Actually, no, we don't open on that. We open up with, "For 3 years, the Earth's crust split open." Why? We're not going to tell you. Why would you want to know why? Psst, that's just silly.
Another generic apocalypse.
It just sort of happened. Someone farted too hard.
They at least get credit for not going the easy nuke route, but they lose just as many points for not actually having an explanation.
Yeah, though, I am a little bit confused. Anime, how did the apocalypse bring in mutant bears and demon people and...
I just kind of have to assume that the apocalypse, like the Earth's core or the Earth's crust splitting for 3 years, was caused by the demons somehow?
You need to explain this a little bit, anime. It's kind of important.
I can accept, you know, the apocalypse and all that, but the giant titted bear needs to be explained.
And the giant moths and the apparently burrowing rats and... what's going on?
Cockroaches the size of house cats.
Cockroaches, yeah.
So we open up with our hero, Jerry, in a fight with the aforementioned 8-boobed demon bear.
Yeah.
And he punches it, and his sensei, Obi-Wan, says, "Watch out, its blood is full of acid. You can't beat it with pure brute force."
And then
Jerry, being an idiot,
punches it again.
Says, "I don't care how I look. I could be ugly.
You can't tell me what to do.
I'll get horribly scarred with acid blood all on my own. You can't control me, old man. Marr.
I do what I like."
And then his sister, pink-haired girl, steps in and makes its head explode. Then she makes it explode into a crater of blood and organs. And I'm left just sort of smiling because I realize what kind of show I'm in for.
Yeah. Everything you need to know happens in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the old man smacks her for being showy.
Yeah. It was hilarious to me. It's dead. You don't have to worry about it. Does it matter what you did?
Apparently.
Because, spoiler alert, pink-haired girl goes insane or is already evil or something. She gets superpowers and murders her Obi-Wan father.
She gets bit with the villain bug.
Yeah.
Yes. But that doesn't happen quite yet, because right after that scene, scene transition!
We just jump, like, 10 years into the future. There's nothing telling us it's 10 years later. Just the main character...
Is bigger.
I want to explain something. Here's what the main character's wearing when we first see him. A thong. That's it. He's just wearing a thong. He has a giant head... scrawny little body with metal things in him that makes me think of Angemon, and a thong. Apparently thongs are what you wear when you want to beat a bear to death.
Well, you don't want all those clothes, you know, weighing you down.
Or protecting you from the acid radiation blood. That'd be silly! Why the metal?
Our hero is now going to school for some reason.
Yeah, and...
Even though it's, like, years and years later, and he looked like he was in junior high age before.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a teenager.
No, he easily looks like he's in his 20s.
Yeah.
Which makes the high school girl crushing on him and him kind of requiting kind of weird.
Here's actually the weird part to me. It's the apocalypse, but school is still in session.
Yeah.
It's an anime. You can't have an anime without being at a high school.
That's Japan for you. You know, the earth could blow up, but you damn if you miss a day of school.
You gotta go to school, kid. You gotta get that education. I don't care if there
it'll be important.
Oh, actually, we missed something.
Remember, for every job you're going to apply for, there are 20 cockroaches trying to take it, so you need straight A's.
We missed a transition, though. We missed it, because we don't transition directly to the main character. Oh, no, we decided to get acquainted with the world.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten this.
Yeah, I didn't, because I loved it so much. Okay, so we see, frankly... Okay, the entire city's destroyed. The coloring and everything, it looks pretty cool. The backgrounds, and these two people, they could not be more out of place. Because they're just two average high schoolers. A girl and a guy. And they're just admiring a flower that's starting to grow. And then a giant, fat, mostly naked except for a harness that only sort of covers up her... lower naughty bits, but still leaves all of her pubic hair exposed, which is really, really bizarre. And her breasts are flopping around everywhere. And she's like 12 feet tall and weighs 20 tons.
She has a clown face.
She picks up the girl and calls herself Beauty and crushes the girl so hard, the girl vomits up all of her blood and her internal organs. And yeah, that's how we get introduced to the city.
Yep. I don't even know what I could add to that.
Giant, jiggling, fat woman, 12 feet tall, crushes a girl, takes the other guy, and quite frankly, the girl got off lucky.
Yes, she did.
But we'll get to that in a little bit when that scene actually happens. Because then we go to our main character who wanders into high school, not unlike Gohan from Dragon Ball Z, the Buu Saga. Or, you know, right before the Buu Saga. And he's trying to pretend he's not a demon hunter for some reason, even though it doesn't actually matter and he doesn't have a secret identity.
It's the damned apocalypse. You don't need a secret identity anymore.
And yet he's... I don't know.
Wasn't he wearing glasses? I think he was wearing glasses.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. He had Clark Kent glasses.
Yes.
Nobody will know who he is.
And then he just... gives up the entire charade before the first episode's over.
Right, because the boob lady kisses off a guy's face.
Then she staples it to her left nipple.
Obviously, some
and
kind
yet somehow
of ritual.
The kids at the school who she attacks, which include generic love interest with a giant bow and a guy who kind of dresses like he is one
biker.
Of the village people.
Yeah, gay biker man.
She attacks them. Gay biker man immediately says, "Huh, that face on her left nipple is such and such from school."
How can you tell? How can you tell?
The nose? I don't know.
Maybe he has his name subtly tattooed to his right cheek.
Maybe.
If you find this cheek, please return to.
The fat lady is going to kill the bow girl and do terrible things to the other people, and then our main character shows up, and he's... Honestly, it's not a bad design. We'll talk about it more in point number 4, but he shows up, his scarves blowing in the wind, and in an odd thing to me, he goes out of his way not to kill her at first. He actually really avoids trying to kill this monster of a person. And I really don't understand why. I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting him to go all Guyver on him.
Yeah. It felt like they were trying to establish him as, like, someone who just doesn't want to kill even, you know, demons.
Yeah.
But that all just gets thrown out the window later.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, what really pushes his buttons... See, first he hits her with some knockout gas, but she gets right back up for no explained reasons. Then he just completely disables her powers, but he hits her in the stomach to do so, which makes her vomit up everything she had eaten. Everything she had eaten being...
Everyone.
Dozens and dozens of skeletons, and the guy whose face she kissed off, who is half-dissolved and still alive.
And Bowgirl's like, no, cling to life, we're here for you, everyone's here for you,
yeah, I'd rather be dead!
They recognized him, too. Face bitten off, half-digested, hey, that's the guy from school.
What? Somehow they...
Maybe his shirt was just really distinctive.
He didn't have a shirt on at that point.
He didn't have skin.
I'd recognize that collarbone anywhere.
Maybe he just smelled really, really nice.
Fresh mint.
But that's when the main character decides screw it and he just kicks the fat lady's head off.
That was awesome.
Yes, actually. I wish there were more moments like that. But that's...
The rest of the show, there are two basic plots.
It kind of just meanders from here.
In the present, our hero kicks monsters, or burns them. You know, he has superpowers as the plot demands.
The suit can basically do anything.
Except make things less grim.
Or true, the suit just adds the grimness.
Or make things, you know, make sense.
Yeah. You can only ask so much for that particular suit.
It tries so hard, okay?
But the second plot is flashbacks to Jerry and pink-haired girl training under Obi-Wan and getting their suits of super armor.
Which in...
Spoiler alert, we never see pink-haired girl's suit of armor. There is never the implicitly promised armor-on-armor battle. But we'll get there.
We'll get there, because it's actually a big failing of the show. Does something, again, I'll touch on in point number 4. So we're getting the flashbacks and we're getting the sort of... If this was an ongoing series, it'd be Monster of the Week plots. But it's a little bit more chaotic than that. We have, what, that troll plant guy with a monstrous penis.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a busty nurse who becomes a nurse on top of a giant furry thing with a mouth where her naughty bits should be, and giant rocket boobs. And we get a orc thing? Old man?
Old man troll thing?
Oh, something with ice saliva?
And
with a monster penis.
Yes, dragon penis. Think that one... What's the name of that... What's the name of that card from Yu-Gi-Oh?
I was just going to reference Overfiend.
The one that little Karibo had in the doing the sitcom with Merrick.
Seriously, I was just going to reference The Legend of Overfiend.
Can't we reference Yu-Gi-Oh! Bridge instead?
No.
Must we descend so far?
Oh, that just implies The Legend of Overfiend is worse. Is it?
I don't know, because The Legend of the Overfiend is a hentai and is therefore on our Do Not Review list.
Well, let's be fair. The only thing separating this from hentai is that no actual sex ever happens.
Some almost happens, but that doesn't end well.
For anyone involved.
Yeah. The basic lesson of this world is that if somebody offers you casual sex, they're a demon.
They're a demon or should be burned alive, regardless.
God, that must be a frustrating world to live in.
We lost our train of thought here. All right.
Yes. So the two plots. Let's do the past plot first, because that'll be faster to sum up.
Okay, their father makes them sleep naked with their armor until they can wear their armor. And then the pink-haired girl learns how to wear her armor and masters it and kills the father. And then she should have killed the main Jerry, except because Jerry's something organ was poking out of his mouth, but I guess he swaddled it back, and he was fine. He got better off-screen.
This show loves to kill people by squeezing them and then having all their organs pop out through their mouths.
Oh, yeah.
See, the thing about Jerry, though, he didn't get it all the way out. It was only halfway out, so he just sort of shoved it back in.
It was still fine. Connected.
He was fine.
My, My theory was that wasn't an organ. He just likes to eat hams without chewing them at all. Like a snake.
Maybe it'd make more sense. So then he just gets thrown off a cliff so he can heal off screen and challenge her in the future.
Right. Now, Burke, you left out you brushed over a very important detail. There are long scenes of the hero cuddling naked with the armor.
I mentioned that.
In a freezer, by the way.
In a freezer. Meanwhile, the dad is outside, naked, pouring buckets of water on top of himself, saying, "God, please help my son." Like, why are you doing that? God helps those who help themselves. Stop trying to give yourself hypothermia, and maybe he can help you, but right now...
God's looking at this guy and going, "What are you doing?"
This is the reason why he gets killed by pink-haired girl. God uses up all of his miracles on this guy, just keeping him from getting sick. So that's the entire past plot, and the entire future plot is pretty much what I just described. It's just him having to deal with monsters of the week, but within the same day or something. Time is bendable and malleable and doesn't really make any sense.
Honestly, the structure of this plot makes me think that they had, like, 8 or so chapters of the manga that they just tried to shove into 2 episodes.
Yeah. That's the problem with OVAs, is they're basically just an over-glorified advertisement for the manga.
Which I'm not sure was ever finished or released in the U.S., at least I really hope not. Pink-haired girl. Pink-haired girl turns out to be the big bad of the show. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. And she takes over the troll man after his penis is destroyed because she's an idiot and it could have killed her and she's an idiot.
The minion's like, "But if he dies, you'll be hurt. You could be killed too." She's like, "Really? Huh." And I, the viewer, I'm like, "Go fight him in person. There's only 20 minutes left to the show."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I saw the clock running out, and, like, are they going to fight or not?
Yeah, I mean, if they had fought, that might have redeemed the show a little bit.
It would have removed the troll man.
We really didn't need him.
No, he didn't. He wasn't. No.
He was there for more shock value, but after everything we've already seen up to this point...
He's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that first monster, not the tit bear, but the fat lady. The enormous obese clown woman.
The other thing with tits.
Yes, because it's hard to specify. She was the most creative and interesting villain. I was almost hoping that she was the big bad, because it would have at least been interesting.
I just realized something. If you put clothes on her, she'd be that first villain from One Piece.
Oh.
You're right.
Am I wrong?
Oh, God.
Well, at least we know what anime inspired the creator of One Piece.
You know what? I think this came out around the same time One Piece started.
He was like, "Let's see here. What can I rip off that no one will care about or recognize at Shonen Jump?"
No one in their right mind would sue.
Hell, Luffy's entire powers, they come straight from the nurse demon's boobs.
Oh, jeez. Okay, you know what? Let's move on to point 3. We've exhausted point 2 beyond specifics.
Nothing climactic happens. The main character kills the troll, his sister's still alive. The villains are still alive, nothing's resolved.
To be continued.
The end is they show off all of her generals while she's healing from the injuries that she gave herself because she's an idiot. And it's like, to be continued by the manga.
Yep. And then the middle finger comes up.
It's like the Berserk anime all over again.
Yeah.
Except with the Berserk anime, it wasn't that they... they hadn't intended on it, just that... they couldn't continue because the content was so bad. This was intentionally jerking us around.
Actually, I think, I hate to tell you you're wrong, Bobcat, except I don't because I love telling you that you're wrong because it happens so often. But that's not actually true. Most of the worst things had already happened in Berserk. From there on, it became more of a fantasy adventure and Guts became He had a brief little dark moment, but he grew as a character.
I was just told that from there on, the content wouldn't have been suitable for Japanese TV, but that's another...
Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense considering what they ended it on. Honestly, I think they just ran out of budget and didn't get a sequel. But
maybe. That's neither here nor there.
Moving on to point three.
Characters. So let's talk about Jerry. Jerry is probably the best thing to come out of this show.
Do you disagree, Rob?
I don't disagree at all. He's pretty archetypical of, like, the lead anime character. You know, he's very distant, and you can tell something's up with him. But
it's very serious, and...
Yeah.
He has a spine, though. He does have a spine, and he is competent, which is more than I could say about some of our leads.
Although I will say they did something with him that I honestly didn't expect. When he showed up at the school the first day, he started getting picked on by the biker guy you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the biker guy was about to, you know, fight him. And I thought, you know, oh, well, he's going to swing at him, he's going to grab his fist, he's going to knock him on the ground, etc. They did not do that.
No. And honestly, that kind of surprised me. This
is... Remind me what they did.
He basically took the punch and went down. And then everyone else was like, oh, I thought he was cool, and then just kind of walked away.
Yeah. He didn't make a spectacle of himself. He didn't try to be awesome. He didn't try to stand out. He didn't want to fight back or hurt the guy. It kind of fits his character.
My personal favorite Jerry moment was from the start of the second episode. The nurse demon had showed up at the house.
Pretending to
be with the intent of seducing / devouring him.
Pretending to be a rape victim, for the record.
Yes. When she had just finished devouring some people. And that's why her clothes were all ripped up. But she was, but basically, she got everyone else out of the house, and she sat on the counter, nude, and was like, oh, hey, sailor.
And then he just
slaps her.
He brought the pimp hand down.
He said, you don't sit where we make food. That's rude. He didn't know she was a demon.
No, he didn't.
He would have slapped anyone who did that.
Yeah.
It's
the apocalypse, but there are standards.
I will say this in the subtitles. Apparently he said something a lot more normal. He said that she should respect herself, but yeah... I prefer the dub. The dub is hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So he's a pretty good character. Honestly, I wish he was in a better anime.
Yep. He deserves it.
I agree.
Better than... Go ahead.
I agree.
He's better than Agito, at the very least.
Better than the guy from... What was the name of the guy from Earthsea?
Oh.
Captain Indecisive.
Aaron?
Something.
That's it.
Aaron.
I can't believe I remember that. Damn it.
And he's technically better than... What's his name from Gundam, Ben?
Amuro.
There's no technically there. Practically everyone so far has been better than Amuro. And Rob just sits there, smiling and nodding.
Pretty much, yeah.
I love that voice. Okay, moving on to love interest. She's the love interest. She's really, really optimistic. She's the school idol. She doesn't like being compared to people. She sings randomly.
She isn't bad at singing. Even in a terrible English dub, they got a half-decent singer for her.
Yeah, she's not bad. She crushes very, very hard on our hero. Did I miss anything?
She has a gigantic bow in her hair.
Oh, yes, I forgot about
that. Like a comically oversized bow.
Yes. Just giant bow. It's there.
And that is the entirety of her character. She is the damsel in distress. Except that other characters are actually in distress more than she is.
Yeah, I think
so. She's eye candy, except that she isn't really eye candy. There's another character who just is, in an episode, who's just sitting around with one boob hanging out. That character is eye candy.
Yeah. Speaking of her, her name is Pierced Boob Lady. She talks about her pierced boob and just sort of hangs around the scene. She doesn't die or anything. She's just sort of there.
Is that the girl with the bandages on her face?
No. That's another character. That's Bandage Face Girl.
Oh, right. Okay, I know who you're talking about. The other girl.
Part of Jerry's makeup powers, as the plot demands, is that when he doesn't have his super armor, he has these metal spheres in his body that, through nonsense science, turn him into Colossus, more or less, from X-Men.
I still say they look like those metal spheres in Angemon from Digimon.
There are a lot of anime that do that type of embedded metal disc thing.
I still don't understand it.
And when someone says, that's kind of weird, what's up with him? The girl who just, her bathing suit is incomplete.
I don't think it's even incomplete. She just has the strap down and her one breast with a piercing in it hanging out.
Well, it's just like I have my nipple pierced, the same thing.
No, it's not.
Hello, red-headed girl, are you someone's fetish? Did someone include you because they had a fetish? Are you someone's girlfriend they promised to put into an anime? I'm confused by your... I seriously thought she was going to get murdered by the troll dude. Because
you thought that she was going to be the villain.
No, I knew the troll dude was going to be the villain. I thought she was just going to get murdered because, you know, flashing breast, all that. No, she's fine. She's perfectly happy. She goes on to become a teacher, I guess.
She lives a full and happy life.
Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic
despite owning no shirts with a right side.
Actually, here's something a little bit weird we didn't touch on in the story itself, but I feel like I should bring up since we're at characters. None of the characters actually die. Like, after the first couple that get killed horribly, very, very horribly in one case, and some random people who have no names and weren't seen before their deaths, none of the characters we meet at the school die.
That's true.
That's a little interesting.
Like, I couldn't tell you the names of most of these characters, and I figure, oh, well, we're not going to know them long enough, but yeah.
Just hanging around.
This show has a surprisingly small body count for how bloody it is.
Yeah, what's really absurd about it is just the monster designs and the over-the-top deaths. If you change those, it'd be better.
It'd go from being noteworthy to being extremely generic Monster of the Week show.
A little bit, but we'll get more into how to improve it later. Or at least one thing in particular. So I guess that just leaves a pink-haired girl, who is insane, may or may not have a penis.
Like I said before, during the first couple minutes of the movie, I thought she was a boy. I thought they were brothers. I mean, she was wearing eyeshadow, but I was like, okay, this is anime. I'm not falling for this.
You've been trapped one time too.
Damn. They bluffed me.
It wouldn't be the first time we've had a male pink-haired girl.
No, but then again, that was a yaoi show, so.
Well, that's something completely different.
Yes.
Oh, so that's really all there is for the characters.
Yeah, I mean, the pink-haired girl is some sort of weird, she's a human and a demon.
I think it's mostly a title by this point. She just is really evil and powerful.
And she's all like, I hate humans. And the old man is like, what, you couldn't have told me that before I gave you the suit of super armor?
Then she cuts his head off. Well, she makes his entire body explode and his head just sort of lands intact. But yeah, that's pretty much it. She's very, very bored. And an idiot.
Because, you know, if you're going to risk your life fighting someone, the logical thing to do is to risk yourself fighting in the body of somebody who was outclassed and just had their penis cut off.
Yeah! Okay. And is in mid-dying.
Yeah, that was kind of a dick move, no pun intended.
I hate you!
Speaking of horrible artistic choices...
Point number four!
Presentation.
Oh, boy.
Let's get the simplest thing out of the way, the music. The music is incredibly generic. The end theme isn't bad, but it's not exactly awe-inspiring.
Frankly, the end... There's no title sequence, by the way. The end theme sounds like... it sounds like they had a leftover background music track and they threw that in there.
The music in between scenes is really inconsequential. It's just not a whole lot going on, music-wise. It's not offensive It's there. It does its job.
They just gave a guy a synthesizer and said, do whatever.
Yeah.
Here's a pizza and $20. Go to town.
Have fun. Yeah.
And he was all, okay, wait.
Nobody's going to remember this.
Yo, I said pepperoni. This is Canadian bacon. I'm so going to half-ass this.
Just bangs his head on the keys.
I will say this in the show's favor. The artistic style of the characters isn't all that great. Half the characters look like they're bald for no real reason.
All the faces are derpy.
Yeah, all the faces are derpy. But in the show's favor, and this may just be because it only had two episodes, but quite frankly, me and Bobcat have seen far worse. This did not have bad animation. It wasn't exactly exemplary animation. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't bad. It was pretty decent all around. The characters flowed fairly well. The scarf was kind of filled with starch and didn't move a whole lot, but that's besides the point. They didn't reuse a lot of animation that I could tell. They didn't hold on a lot of shots outside of one or two things that I recall. All in all, everything had a unique look. The coloring of everything looked neat. The backgrounds were really, really good. The main character's design himself was pretty cool. The armor.
I think the armor was probably the best thing in the whole show.
Yes, I really, really wanted to see him fight something that looked as cool as he did. Didn't happen!
No, we got kind of gypped out of that.
Yeah,
literally. No, I meant literally, because we thought he was going to fight his sister in the armor, in her armor, but it never happened.
Yeah.
Here's the...
Go read the manga, kids.
Buy our books.
Here's what I would have done to improve this 1,000-fold. Even if I had to keep all of the first episode in, and most of the second, I would have had, instead of the troll dude showing up, I would have had the big bad pink-haired girl gathering her generals, sending them at the skull all at once, because she knows where he is. And then she herself shows up, so we get just this gauntlet of him fighting down all the generals, and we get to see cool little scenes of them, and then him murdering them, and then we get to see him all awesome and heroic and injured, taking on his sister who previously kicked his butt, and we get this final battle showdown, and he earns peace for the city. They still have to work to survive because of all the other problems, but the demons are no longer an issue, and that would have made this work a whole lot more.
Well, as long as we're talking about things that would make it work a lot more, and you're right, that would have been a much better ending, which is why they didn't do it. As long as we're talking about things that would have made it better, this is another series that, let's see, what was the other one? That's right. This is the first series since Fate Stay Night where the order in which the story was presented was all wrong. Okay, none of the scenes had any tension to them at all. But in principle, the scenes in the flashbacks where, you know, the armor is made of the souls of dead warriors, and if you're not good enough to survive putting on the armor, you're absorbed into the armor. Of course, we all know that our main character isn't going to die in the first few minutes, but we especially don't know that if this is a flashback where this threat is happening.
After the armor has already been shown on the main character in the present. You know what would have been an awesome plot twist for this show?
The armor had eaten him?
Yeah, and the thing that we see walking around that looks like him is the armor itself. He only partially succeeded. He gave it a conscience. He gave it a sentience. And it could assume a human form, vaguely based off of him, but he had lost. He had failed. He had been devoured.
Hell, for all we know, that did happen. Nothing we saw was inconsistent with that theory.
Yeah, but it would have been awesome. Well, I don't know if it would have been awesome. It would have made the thing a whole lot more interesting if they went into it. Maybe.
Going back to the animation briefly, the fact that this show has actually fairly smooth animation with those ugly, stupid character designs is kind of like lovingly creating a stew when you have to start with rotten meat. You can put all the effort you like into it, but it's going to be unappealing on the other side.
Yeah. So, Rob, any thoughts on the animation?
I thought it was very good. It was very typical if you've seen a lot of the 90s anime OVAs where there's a lot of emphasis on action and gore. It was about on par with all of that.
Yeah. I'd say it ranked a little bit better than the Guyver, from what I recall. Didn't have as many goofs as the Guyver could have, and did have at a few points. But then again, it also had, what, a fraction of the runtime?
Yeah.
Go buy the manga, kids.
Buy my book! Buy my book!
This is just an elaborate commercial.
Thanks for paying us for the privilege of watching our elaborate commercial.
The only other thing to bring up is, would either of you care to explain the dubbing?
I don't know if I can.
Oh, go ahead. I'm willing to give it a shot, but we've been talking too much. You go ahead and try, Rob.
There were a lot of recognizable voice actors. I think it was Lex Lang was the main character. The other names kind of escape me. But a lot of the performances were over the top, especially like for the demons. Some of them were okay, but it was, again, just like the animation, it was pretty typical of anime at the time.
Yeah, I watched the first couple minutes. Like, I only just got to watch this right before we started recording. I watched the first 5 minutes before I had to go to work this morning, and I knew. I usually try to watch it, both the dub and the sub, but the dub was going to be such a big part of the experience.
Yeah.
The dub is hilarious, though. It also, one weird thing to me, I'm not sure what this says, but consistently, the dubbing in the present storyline was superior to the dubbing in the past storyline. Superior for not so great reasons, but superior. Okay, I think we've exhausted that point. Shall we move on to final thoughts, gentlemen?
You know, I don't know why, but I suddenly have this urge to buy a manga.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what's up with that.
It's like we only get part of an experience of something, but I can't recall why.
Yeah, because they wouldn't release a 2-episode OVA that people probably had to spend $30 for on VHS back in the day.
That would be insulting. Of course not.
Yeah. It was a complete experience. We're just not smart enough to figure out what that experience was.
Clearly. So then, actual final thoughts.
Let's get serious, gentlemen.
Yes. This is terrible. I mean, it was recommended because it was terrible, and boy, Spaceman Hardy, you're right.
Yeah, it's not good by any definition, but
it's fun.
It's not unwatchable. If you're a little squeamish, you might not enjoy it. But if you're like me and you just seek out stuff like this to watch with your friends and riff it to hell, then you might want to check it out.
This was hilarious. I wouldn't pay money for this, honestly. Because
I did.
Me too.
I know. There are ways around paying money for it, but that would require getting our website into trouble, and I'm not going to go into that.
Yar.
I will say, I don't entirely regret my purchase, because I know I'm going to show this to my friends, and then they will have the full Apocalypse Zero experience, just like I did.
I kind of want to own it now, because it was so much fun.
Okay, I'll mail you my copy.
Okay.
Because my final thoughts is that I didn't even really enjoy this. Like, okay, after the first 20 minutes or so, pardon my metaphor, but the show had blown its load for me. Everything after that didn't really add to the experience, because I kind of knew what was coming.
Would you recommend it?
No, I wouldn't even recommend it on a so bad it's good type of basis. Rob's right, it's an experience.
Rob,
I don't know if I'm better off for having had that experience.
Rob, you go ahead and then I'll finish up.
Like I said, I don't think it's unwatchable. If you can just accept it for what it is and just laugh at how bad it really is, just the ridiculousness of it, then you might want to check it out. But I wouldn't say this is for everybody.
No, definitely not. In fact, I think this may be quote-unquote worst thing we've reviewed so far. In fact, it's starting to make me wonder if we should consider Bible Black.
No. Veto, I forbid.
But all in all, if you're, well, if you're like me, and you don't really care, this is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. It's kind of disappointing in the end because it's not a complete experience. But if you can get it for free, go ahead and watch it. Make sure you have some friends. Make fun of the thing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yep. It's fun because of what you can bring to it, not because of what it is itself.
Yeah.
True.
It's more fun with what you can think up for it. Because I swear, I just improved it a billion times in this review alone with just random thoughts.
I would actually say if you're an aspiring writer, watch this to see what not to do.
Learn from the mistakes of the past.
So, yeah, I would recommend it with the notation that you do not buy it. If you can find some other way to find it, even if just a friend bought it by accident, go for it.
Yeah, this week I'm not going to include a ad for it under the review. There will be ads for things of actual quality.
Other anime.
Maybe the manga, because that's all this was advertising.
Here, try this Miyazaki movie. It's so much better.
Are there dragons in it? Yes.
How many? Three dragons.
No, the one with three dragons sucks.
I hate you all, and good night.
Thanks for stopping in, Rob.
No problem.
Go away!